Today I'd like to talk to you about present some results I had when analyzing mode coupling the scattering of radiation off of a Schwarzschild black hole. And this is work I did along with Roberto Gomez, Sastre Husa, Luis Lehner, and Jeffrey Winokur. Just an overview of what the project was about. So I'm going to analyze the, as I said, the mode coupling, and this is done in full GR, so with no approximations. And the system we're going to work with is a characteristic system. It's going to be based on evolution along outgoing.
Maybe get you to use the pointer.
Okay. Evolution along outgoing null hypersurfaces with a radial, some compactified radial coordinate, which puts square plus in the evolution domain. And the pulse will consist of a simple compact support in radius. So you have a black hole at the center and some and surrounded by a shell, a spherical shell of radiation with some angular profile given by some particular mode. And imagine that you have this the inner boundary for the system is going to be some ingoing null surface, which will which won't intersect the infalling mass that originally produced the Schwarzschild black hole, at least until after the black hole is formed, in case you don't care about what's happening. And this system is entirely equivalent to going to the system where there is no infalling matter and it's just a pure vacuum Schwarzschild. And and what we actually do is place data on the Schwarzschild white hole horizon, the R equal 2m surface. And we produce the news function, the bonding news function on square plus, which is a complex field, which gives the plus and the cross components of the shear. And this is a spin 2 field, and we look at, and we decompose that spin 2 field in terms of spin 2 spherical harmonics, and see what kind of modes are in the bonding news function, and compare that with the modes that we put in on this initial data, on this initial hypersurface J minus. So before I go into the new results that we have in this, I just want to mention some previous results that other groups have had in this group as well. So first, I just want to mention that this paper, where the module which calculates the news was developed. So this is a paper, Bishop et al. And they used in this paper they used the Pitt null code, which is the same code for the results that I'll be presenting, and they analyzed the bonding news function from a similar thing, from scattering off of a Schwarzschild. This is one of the things that they analyzed in that paper. And these new results differ from those presented in 1997, in that in this case we've decomposed the news in terms of these spherical harmonics to analyze the mode coupling. I'll explain in a later slide why that's just slightly more complicated than what was done in this paper, because you have to it's another interpolation that you have to do to get the news onto the correct time slices. In 98, a paper came out with G. Allen et al., which they analyzed this mode coupling, but from a Cauchy point of view. And their evolutions were done with an axisymmetric code. And recently, Papadopoulos also analyzed mode coupling from a characteristic point of view, but his characteristic code was based on ingoing rather than outgoing null hypersurface. So his constant time surfaces penetrated the horizon, but he had to place an outer boundary at R equals 60m. And to get the news, he had to choose another, some smaller r, and use an approximate formula for the news based on I believe it was a perturbative expansion. And the other difference between his results and what I'm doing and what I'm going to show is that he placed data on this ingoing null surface, so he's looking really on the scatter of outgoing radiation. And so the setup of the problem. So as I said before, The evolution is based on a family of outgoing null hyperservices, which includes Scribe Plus. The metric in these coordinate system is, so first of all, the coordinates are this U, which is the retarded time coordinate, a radial coordinate, which is going to be compactified to include Scribe Plus, and angular coordinates, XA. And the metric functions that I'm interested in are the evolution of this quantity W tilde, this quantity U, which is just this contraction, and this HAB, where the determinant of HAB must be, is required to be equal to the determinant of a unit sphere metric. And therefore, it just has 2 degrees of freedom, which can be obtained with, which can be placed in this complex quantity J, which is given by this contraction, where this QA in both those contractions, that's a unit sphere dyad, it's a complex null vector, and the indices are raised and lowered with the unit sphere metric. Now, on this initial slice, where the data is given, say on this slice here, the data that you give is for would be J, that's constraint-free data, and it represents the ingoing radiation. And the data, and you get on Scribe Plus, you get eventually get the Nuse function, which is given by 1/2 the L, which is L is one of R, the L derivative, which is L is one over R, and the U derivative of J on Scribe Plus. Plus I write gauge terms, which basically means that if you're in the appropriate gauge, if you're in a gauge where the inertial observers on Scribe Plus are fixed at constant XA and you have the right time slicing, then the news is just this simple formula, 1/2 JLU. But in general, your gauge is going to be determined by by boundary conditions you place on this ingoing, on your inner boundary, and it'll be very distorted, and this calculation actually is quite complicated. It simplifies, though, in the linear case, and I'll show a simple calculation for the news in the linear regime a little later on. So before I present results, I'm going to show you one problem that does arise in this system. And the problem is that we want to look at an ingoing pulse. So in particular, we're looking at the scattering of the ingoing pulse, but we also got to worry about what happens as this pulse falls in. And we're using a compactified radial coordinate. So our grid coordinates, our grid points are at fixed R. And if you look in the short-shelled background, the fixed R follow this trajectory. And you have this ingoing pulse, which is originally bound by these two ingoing null lines, K1 and K2. And as this pulse is going to fall in, some of it's going to get scattered out, but the majority of it's going to fall in. And as it falls in, eventually it's going to reach this point here, which I call J plus, this null line. And you see that this entire pulse is only resolved by, in this case, 3 grid points, whereas down here it was well resolved, up here it's completely unresolved. And so that's going to limit the lifetime of this evolution. Beyond a certain point, just this pulse, you're not resolving what's happening. And in particular, I'm going to measure the lifetime as to be the time where this lower edge of this pulse hits this first radial grid point here, which actually that's the second. This H minus is R equal to M, so that is also a radial grid point. At this point, which is going to be roughly 15 m after the start of the evolution, we're going to see a rapid decay in the convergence and the resolution, and therefore the results are really going to be unreliable beyond around 20 m. So I have good confidence in the results before 15 m, but rapidly decreasing confidence after that. Just one other complication that when you want to do mode coupling is that you need to you want to look at the mode coupling from the perspective of the inertial observers on Scribe Plus. So in this figure, I'm just showing what the raw results will be for the run. So you choose some retarded times coordinate, and these are slices of constant retarded time, and this will be what's happening on Scribe Plus. And these curves here are some representation of a distorted view of the null generators of Scribe Plus. And this here is a slice which is represents a slice of constant Bondi time. And so what you want to do is you want to analyze the mode coupling in a system where these slices are flat and where these curves are, you know, just straight lines going up, scry plus. And so what we had to do was add a module which allowed for the interpolation in time to get, so the data comes on these slices and we just want to interpolate back onto those slices. And the original system, which was in the paper by Bishop et al., what they did was they interpolated, they kept this, the time slicing the same, but they interpolated in the angular direction so that the null lines went straight up in their angular coordinate system, but their time slices were not inertial Bondi time slices, so they couldn't do the mode coupling once you leave. They couldn't do mode analysis once you leave the linear regime. Just to test, to make sure everything was working, we did a test of the linearized version of. We ran the full code, but with data of a very small amplitude. So we're in the linear regime, and we had previously developed a perturbative code based on the Tarkovsky formalism to solve psi naught and psi four, and thereby get the news. And we ran this the PIC code with grids, and these are going to be roughly the same grid sizes I'm going to use for all the runs. But I write 12i by 12i angular points by 30i rate of grid points, where I is just some integer from 6 to 11. And we checked the convergence for two cases. The case that we're interested here would be the case of an ingoing pulse, and I'm producing the news here. We also looked at the case of an outgoing pulse, where there was no ingoing radiation from square minus. And we confirmed that this code was second-order convergent in the linear regime. And this just shows the convergence plot for the linearized outgoing pulse. This is the L infinity norm of the news multiplied by the grid parameter I squared. And this second-order convergence is shown by the fact that this plot is independent of I, at least until moderately late times. For the ingoing pulse, looking here at the L2 norm for an ingoing pulse, and this is relatively good convergence up until around 15. So that's why I said beyond 15, the convergence rapidly breaks down. You see that there's good lineup over here of these curves, but beyond it, you can see that these curves are going to start to break, and you're going to rapidly see a loss in the appearance of second order convergence. Just say a word or two about how exactly I'm decomposing the news. So I've shown that this code is convergent, at least in a linear regime. And now I just want to say precisely what this decomposition is. So I'm going to define spin weight two bases, which I'm going to call this 2RLM, which is going to be obtained by taking F squareds of various combinations of the regular spherical harmonics. Now I take this. Now these are SRLMs for any given S are orthonormal and they form a complete basis. And any spin weight X function can be expressed in terms of them. In particular, I'm interested in expressing the Bondi news function in terms of these coefficients NLM, which are given by that integral, and the J, where J at any time and at any radial position is also expressible in terms of the RLMs. Now, I choose this particular linear combination, which differs from the ordinary one, which would be just to take FS of YLM, because in linear theory, if you look at the way the news, the NLMs obey this equation. It's 1/2 the LM and the 1 over the L equal 1 over R derivative and the U derivative, plus a term which is says the real part, which is the real part of JLM. I'm sorry for using L in two senses. This is 1 over R, and that's the YLM index. And it's this real term here that is the source of why I use this particular combination. Had I just used the ordinary spin us spherical harmonics, this real term would have taken a real part, would have coupled a minus M to a plus M mode. So a J, which was a pure minus M, would produce a news which had a plus M as well. But this, by using this particular combination, I remove that kind of coupling, and now the news in linear theory shows no mode coupling. If the J has a mode of pure LM, then the news will also have that same mode and no other mode. Okay. So the first series of runs that we did were based on an axisymmetric data. So the data was some compact radial profile with inner boundary at r equals 2.54m, which is quite close to the black hole, which is why the evolution only lasted for 15m. And the outer part of the pulse over here is around 8m. And the data was a pure L equal 2, m equals 0 mode. And because it was in m equals 0, you expect that you'd only be able to get m equals 0 modes coming out of this system, because axisymmetry is going to be preserved by the Einstein equations. And since this was an L equal 2, you expect also you only get even parity modes coming out, again, because even parity is preserved by the Einstein equations. And so here are the results. I plot here this coefficient, the 2,0, the L equal 2, M equals 0 coefficient of the news divided by the amplitude of the initial data. And you see that for amplitudes of 10 to the minus 3 and less and smaller, the news shows this quantity N2 over A is completely independent of A. And that's exactly what you expect. This is the linear regime, that's the linearized result. And then as you go to A equal 10 to the minus 2 and higher, you see the systematic change in amplitude. So there's a nonlinear amplification here. There's some kind of nonlinear suppression there. And there's also a phase drift. The frequency has changed as you increase the amplitude. And what's going on here is that you're getting quadratic and higher order modes coming in here and changing the amplitude and the phase. Now, I mention this because this is, in the non-axisymmetric results I'm going to present here, you don't see this effect. You see a pure scaling. I just want to point out that the period of this is around 16m, which is roughly the quasi-normal period. The L equal 4 modes show the first, these show quadratic terms. So this is quadratic and higher terms. In fact, the L equal 4, M equals 0. And the scaling for large amplitudes, 10 to the minus 1 down to 10 to the minus 2, is with the amplitude of the initial data squared. Whereas for smaller amplitudes, the scaling seems to go with A. And what's happening here is just an artifact of this decomposition. You're doing an integral of an L equal 2, M equals 0, and you're integrating against an L equal 4, M equal to 0. And if you do the numerical integral the way we do it, you get a non-zero answer for that. You get, for these resolutions, you get something like 10 to the minus 7. And that's on par with the size, at least of these lower amplitudes. And so the linear mode, which is really pure L equal 2, M equals 0, will contaminate this coefficient, N4, 0. And the frequency here that you see for at least the ones with the proper scaling, where you're not seeing just a contamination, is roughly twice the frequency of the L equal 2 mode. And in addition to that, there's a rather broad change here that you see, so a very low frequency. And that's more or less the expected behavior. If you imagine that these modes are something like an e to the I kx minus omega t, and you're going to square them, you expect two possible combinations, either 2 omega or 0. So at the very least, it seems to be consistent with this kind of naive thinking, and that we get a very low frequency and then roughly twice the frequency. And then at around 20m and higher, you see this breakdown in this scaling. And that presumably is being caused by the fact that we're rapidly losing resolution, and the results beyond here are very much in doubt. the L equals 6, which this contains third order and higher terms, and shows a nice scaling, relatively nice scaling, with as the amplitude of the initial data cubed, with roughly 3 times the initial frequency, the principal mode frequency. Now, for this third order mode, expect to get the 3 times the initial frequency, or the 3 times the principal mode, or the principal frequency itself. And it's not clear that there is any of the principal frequency there. But in the Fourier decomposition, it shows up quite strongly. And I'll show, in a moment, I'll show a slide with the Fourier transform. You'll see that. And beyond U equal 20, you see this, again, this loss of scaling, which presumably is due to the fact that we're not resolving features near the horizon. The Fourier transform of these modes out to around 15 m. So it's a Fourier transform over roughly one period of the principal mode. So it's not a. This red line here shows the principal the L equal 2 mode, and you see there's some wiggles on the end because of the Fourier integrals over small a domain. And you have a rough scaling of twice and 3 times. This is only qualitatively, but there is this separation. This is the third order mode. It shows a peak here, and then a strong peak. Although it wasn't apparent on the plot, it shows a very strong peak, which completely covers this the principal frequency. And then for the L equal 4, you see roughly double, and then also a very strong peak at a zero frequency. So this. It seems to make sense, but or our naive way of analyzing this seems to work. Just thinking about this as a product of e to the ikx minus omega t, squaring that and seeing what kind of frequencies you get seems to hold for this. And it seems very nice, but this is not the end of the story, because once you go into the non-axisymmetric case where you have more couplings, this kind of naive analysis is going to break down. So this slide shows the Bondi-Nuys at one particular point on the equator for an amplitude of 8 of 10 to the minus 6 and 10 to the minus 1, where if we scale the 10 to the minus 6, so that's of a similar amplitude as 10 to the minus 1. What I'm showing here is that there's this systematic drift and change in the amplitude. So there's the scaling breaks down with the amplitude, but there's also a change in the wavelength. And over this first half cycle, the A equal 10 to the minus 1 signal has around a 15% smaller wavelength over a half cycle. And for the second half cycle, it has around a 15% larger wavelength. So there's no systematic change in the wavelength. And it happens to be over here, which is beyond time of 20 m, there's very little net effect, and the net effect is around 2%. But nonetheless, it just showed that there is no, you can't just use linear theory to analyze what's going on, because you'll miss the fact that there's, even though this from here to here seems to be in relatively good agreement with linear theory, at least as far as the phase is concerned, in the intermediate region, the linear theory gives a bad result for the phase. In the non-axisymmetric, for non-axisymmetric coupling, we start out by looking at a pulse which also had symmetries which would simplify the analysis and reduce the number of modes that could be produced. So it chose the same radial profile. So this system will also only last around 15 m before there'll be rapid loss in resolution, and chose an L equal 2, M equal 2 angular mode. And because it's an L equal 2, expect only even L, because parity is conserved. And since M is even, expect only even M, again, because of parity. And because M is greater than 0, and this, when it chose those combinations, which I call the RLMs, I chose them such that these this term here, this stuff before you take the f, it's real, and this would be the cosines of phi, cosines of m phi, and this would be sines of m phi. And by choosing the positive, and for positive greater than, for positive you get cosines, for negative you get sines. Because I chose m greater than 0, you're going to get things that look like cosine of m phi, and you're going to have a reflection symmetry about phi equals 0, which is going to be preserved. So you're only going to get m greater than 0 in the modes in on square plus. So this is the first surprise that you get. You look at this is now the L equal 2, M equal 2, and scale it by factor of A, and you see that this thing scales rather very well with A out to very large amplitudes. And then beyond that, around 15 or so, you see a systematic deviation as the amplitude gets larger. You see a rapid break off from this curve. And that's really going to be due to nonlinear processes being driven by the fact that you have an unresolved pulse and you have very strong derivatives and things are starting to blow up. So that's really unreliable as to what's happening here. But this stuff here, that's reliable. And at first it seems strange that in the axisymmetric case you see a systematic change in the amplitude, you see systematic change in the phase, and here you see it looks like linear theory is working perfectly. And the reason for that is just the fact that I've chosen L equal 2, M equal 2 mode to start off with. And if you square that and take a product of that, the possibility you're going to get is an L equal 4, M equal 4, or M equal 0, or an L equal 2, M equal 0. You can't get an L equal 2, M equal 2 in quadratic from quadratic terms. So there's no quadratic feedback onto this mode. And so those, in the axisymmetric case, what was distorting the N2 0 over A was the fact that you're also seeing quadratic terms. Whereas here, there are no quadratic terms, and it happens to be that the cubic terms aren't quite big enough yet to really distort this signal very much. In this case, the L equal 2, M equal 0 mode that you get is a quadratic term, and it shows a reasonably good scaling, where the scaling breaks off as the amplitude gets bigger, it breaks off sooner from the scaling. And you see a very low frequency signal. And whereas for the axisymmetric case, you saw a high frequency signal, twice the principal frequency, plus some systematic drift. Now you just see which essentially looks like just a flat line until something big happens. And hidden within this flat line is a much smaller oscillation, which is of the twice the principal mode frequency. Now, for some of the other quadratic modes, but one other thing I wanted to point out that I could point out on this slide too is the scaling. For the axisymmetric case, I was only able to go down to around 10 to the minus 2 before the scaling broke down, and you would see a linear scaling because of this contamination. But by an accident of choosing this particular mode, this scaling actually works down to very low amplitudes, although it doesn't look very good in this slide. In the next slide, I'll show you the scaling will be preserved so that even down to 10 to the minus 5, this will show an independence of A, except for the fact that you got this break-off as you go to very large amplitudes. And you see roughly twice, this one shows now an oscillation with roughly twice the principal mode frequency. I think this one shows a little bit better what I mean by saying that the scaling is retained to very low amplitudes. See that the A of 10 to the minus 2 and the A of 10 to the minus 5 curve overlap almost perfectly. And this is a scaling with A squared, so you don't see this linear contamination. Again, that's really an accident of the way that the integration is done, the mode coupling, to find the coefficients. It just turns out that if you take an n equal 4, m equal, l equal 4, m equal 4 mode, and you integrate it against an l equal 2, m equal 2, with our integrator, you're going to get a round off. You're going to get a result which is equal to round off. So so the l equal 2, m equal 2 mode just can't contaminate this signal.
Can I ask a question before you go on?
Yeah.
So I thought you said that at about u equals 20 or something, you were getting this loss of resolution.
Yes.
But how can the a equals 10 to the minus 2 and 10 to the minus 5 agree so well if you're really losing enough resolution that you can't see anything?
Yeah, but losing resolution just means you can't trust the result. But if you're in approximately in the linear regime, then there's no reason why the code should take junk on the some radial junk, and not you have some slice, and you got something which you don't resolve, and something which you can resolve in this slice, and then you were to scale up the amplitude. So it's the same profile, but just scale up the amplitude. If you're not exciting nonlinear modes, then you should get perfect scaling. So whatever result, unreliable result, this one produced, this one also just produced, but you know, let's say 10 times greater. Okay, and again, you see this systematic drift as nonlinear, as this lack of resolution excites nonlinear behavior. You see a systematic deviation as the amplitude goes up, and you also see twice the principal frequency, which is what you would expect. The L equal 4, M equal 2 mode is a cubic mode, and it turns out it's quite difficult to get these modes. In order to get this plot with this overlap, first I had to go to amplitudes of around 1.6 and 10 to the minus 1 up to 3.6 and 10 to the minus 1, pretty large amplitudes, and I had to double the resolution of the angular and the radial resolution just to get this plot of this quality. And this plot kind of defies some simple analysis, because this is a cubic mode. It scales as the amplitude cubed. And you expect for cubic mode either to get the principal frequency from this naive analysis or to get 3 times the principal frequency. And this frequency is neither. And don't really have a good explanation for that, but I'll show you in the Fourier transform how at least there's a systematic deviation, at least from the expected. So we'd expect this one to have a 3 times the frequency or the frequency. But there was also an L equal 2 mode which had a low frequency, and I'll show you when I show the transform. That low frequency wasn't zero. It actually didn't peak near zero, but it peaked. There was a drift in that, moving towards higher frequencies, and that might explain why this thing has a drift towards higher frequencies. This might actually be something like the principal frequency, which has just been shifted upwards, because it's a product against a mode which didn't have zero frequency but had but was itself shifted up towards the principal frequency. Yeah.
If those lines don't overlay each other even on the very left of the graph, do you know that you have enough resolution to read?
Well, if you increase the resolution, the question is, if you increase the resolution, how much does this change? And so I don't think that the change is that significant. I was looking at how this.
Do you think it's more of a change in amplitude than the frequency or something?
Well, there is a change in frequency, because these things should overlap exactly. But the deviation from the perfect overlap will be a fourth order, and that should be small. So these things really should overlap exactly. So there is a problem getting the time profile of this.
So how many points did you have angular before? So
77 was the original one, so I think it was 138. And to really get really good results, I doubled that again before I was able to get nice.
138 per plot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it means that around the sphere, you probably got around 200 points in a single line.
Yeah.
That's for 4 base, 200 points, and that should be that.
So the L equals 6 is also a cubic mode, and it scales between this range. So this is not a very good amplitude range. This is only a factor of around 2 in amplitude. But it does have roughly 3 times the frequency, which is what we'd expect, rather than this the L equal 4 omega 2, which does not have what we'd expect. And just to show you the last cubic mode, 6.2 also scales roughly with a cubed. And this initial feature here tends to go away, where this you don't have very good scaling at first. That tends to go away as you increase resolution. But you need to, this is running at twice the resolution. You need to double it again before you really get good scaling. All the when I say the cubic modes, I'm showing you all the cubic modes, all the quadratic modes. Beyond that are other modes, which are going to be higher order modes, which are simply not something like this. Let's say the 6.4. So you can't generate a 6.4 presumably by taking a 2.2 and cubing it. Right, the 2.2s you can get the 4.0 or the 4.4, and therefore you can get the 6.2 and the 6.6 and the 6.6, but you can't get the 6.4. And so if you just look at the scaling, let's say I try it with a cubed, and you see there's just no scaling.
For all of these, your initial data is 2.2?
Yes, the initial data is the same. This is just the analysis of the 2.2. So, and you see for the other modes, I can see that they're not there because they just don't show any reasonable scaling or reasonable behavior as I increase resolution. So these would be very high order modes, fourth order modes, and higher. And there's the resolution is just not enough to see that. Show the transform. And when I say things have like the principal frequency twice the principal frequency, three times the principal frequency, I'm only talking about something qualitative. There's a grouping. They group up in something like three times, and they group up in something like twice. But as you can see, this one peaks here, this one peaks there. That's quite a significant difference. It's just, but qualitatively, so it's a qualitative thing when I assign it, when I say something is three times the principal frequency. And the interesting one is this one, the first one. This is the L equal 2, M equal 0. Now the principal mode was L equal 2, M equal 2, so this is a quadratic mode. I expect this to have zero frequency, but it peaks actually at a rather high frequency. And then it has a second peak, which is not twice, but is also quite high. And perhaps if you could explain this one, you could explain the deviation that I mentioned in the L equal 4, M equal 2, which was the cubic mode, which I expect to have three times the frequency or the principal frequency. And this one has, well, it's smaller than twice the frequency, but it's much larger than the principal frequency. So perhaps what's going on here is whatever caused this thing to deviate from zero, if you kind of sum these two modes, you roughly get that. So the answer for why this mode didn't behave correctly really is the answer for why that mode didn't behave correctly. And at this point, I don't have an answer for that. But I can just say that the naive analysis really is quite naive, because this low coupling could be occurring near the horizon, or could be occurring near scry. We don't know quite where this is happening. So the frequencies differ dramatically as you go from the horizon to scry with the strong redshift. So perhaps it was just too naive to say that this thing should be zero. And just one last coupling I want to show is plus cross coupling. So this is for the non-axis symmetric LE2 M2 pulse. I look at the news at a point at phi equal 45 degrees. And in the linear regime, the news here would be a pure cross component. And I'm looking at these quantity, the news divided by A for 10 to the minus 6 and 10 to the minus 1. And you look at the cross component, you see just no deviation beyond 10 to the 20, beyond 20, I don't care. But you see no deviation in amplitude or phase. Just a perfect overlap. Linear theories will perfectly give you perfectly, in this particular place, the cross mode component. But the plus mode component is a nonlinear. And is an nonlinear effect, and for 10 to the minus 1, you see a strong plus mode component. And of course, the reason why you don't see systematic change in amplitude or in phase in the plus mode is just that an accident of the orientation of your detector. I mean, you can choose your detector to only see the linear part. You can choose your detector to see the quadratic part. But in general, you can't choose where your detector is. So your detector will see some combination of the two, and therefore you will see some systematic change in the amplitude and in the phase.
So it may be difficult to steer
light. Yeah, you can't just, or you can't choose where your black holes are going to, you know.
What were you showing on the other plots? Which mode, the plus or the cross?
For the axisymmetric one?
Yeah.
Pure plus, there's only plus.
The axisymmetric is pure plus, but the non-axisymmetric.
So yeah, this is the only plot I've shown of plus or cross.
No, but when you show the non-axisymmetric components?
Those are just the coefficients.
The coefficients.
So they would include, in general, this coefficient would include both.
Yeah.
Well, that won't help because you don't know where the where these events are until they happen. So it's okay. So this stuff, this was a demonstration, really. Partly of what we were doing was a demonstration of what this code can do. We use pulses that contain some symmetries which simplify the analysis, but the code doesn't need those symmetries, nor does it respect them, nor does it care about them. The analysis can be done quite generally with any mode. And this also leads to future work, where you can perform analysis with mode coupling, not just with odd L's and negative odd M's, which will generate all other possible modes, but you can also perform analysis with black holes with spin, which will further complicate the mode coupling. And this project was really, one of the goals of this project was to look at mode coupling because that was of interest to people who want to model, who want to generate waveforms, because this is, in a sense, is you want to understand how radiation perturbs a black hole, and what kind of radiation comes out when you perturb a black hole. And so if you're going to think about modeling how infalling matter perturbs a black hole with radiation, well, you can also model it. We'll just ask, what happens if a blob of radiation were to fall into a black hole, or were to have a glancing blow fall in, you know, some kind of glancing angle towards a black hole, and analyze what happens then? You could do that with this code, or you could ask, what happens if you were to put a blob of energy, a blob of radiation, in a circular orbit around the black hole, and let it eventually slowly decay in and fall into the black hole, and see what happens. So there's all kinds of interesting problems that you can do with this, with these one black hole space-times codes.